Faith Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Anytime I say protect this house, you're going to say, okay, a little bit better than that. Anytime I say protect this house, you're going to say, I will. That's right. Have y'all seen the Under Armour commercials? I will. Now, let me say this to you. We're doing this totally out of Scripture today. This is totally coming out of the Scripture today. Because the Bible says, go tarry in Jerusalem till you be clothed in power. The Word of God says that if you take off this earth suit of mine, Paul said, I'm clothed on the inside. I've got some under armor that nobody else sees. And I believe in the under armor of God. I believe we have on the armor of God. Amen? I can't see it. It's an under armor, but it's on you right now.
Looks up to you. I need you to set the tone. You're a born leader.
Always beats the big guys. You know they can't touch you. How does the team stay motivated?
If you don't get motivated when you put on the armor, then you ain't got a pulse, man.
I'll tell you what, Johnny. On paper, Goliath has the size, but every year, Under Armour outperforms him on the field.
The right mover, the big guys have made more than a few runs at UA with no success.
The idea of that is that you don't even have a pulse if you can't know and feel something when you got the armor on. Amen. If you're born again this morning, I believe God's touching your life. We're talking about the red zone. And for you all that are fans, were here last week, or you're football fans, you get red zone. That's those last 20 yards that you're trying to go through to get a goal, to make a goal. Many teams have plays for just that, and they'll practice two or three times a week just on that one place of the red zone. You have a lot of plays when you're on the big field. You can have 75, 80, 100 plays on the big field when you're playing on the long end. But when you get down to the 20 in the red zone, everything changes. Now, on offense, your plays go down from about 75 or 80. They go down to about 4 or 5 on the max side. Everything cuts down. Your field is shorter. You can't throw deep passes. Everything is closed up on you. The defense isn't spread out 40 yards from you. Everybody's stacked right up on you. Another thing about the defense, and that's what we're going to be dealing with today, one of the things the defense will do, the defensive coordinator will call down, and they will match everybody. I don't know if y'all know what goes on, and it's more than I can understand, but they match people. When they get people a certain size, certain weight, certain speed, then they try their best to match that. When you get down to the red zone, I will tell you right now, the devil will match for you. He looks for you. He's got plans for you. They're not of good. They're not of happiness. They're not of peace, but they are a failure, and he tries his best to match you. People say, well, I thought that guy was such a great man of God. I'm going to tell you right now, he didn't get a little devil to come against him. Sometimes we forget new level, new devil. We forget that the Bible says that the demonic forces are in territorial authority. In other words, they govern. There are different levels of them, and they have ruling. So you could have a strong man in someone. You remember Legion when Jesus said, what is your name? And the Bible said, he said, Legion, because we are many. Only one demon spoke, but many were there. Which means that one was there. So I'm saying this about the red zone. When you're on offense, that defense is totally against you. Today we're on the defense. So how many of you know the enemy wants to get a goal today? The enemy wants to run over us. The enemy wants to score. As a matter of fact, he wants to come ransack your house. He wants to get in your house. But we're going to make up our mind today to protect this house. Oh, yeah, that's two of you. We're going to protect this house. Amen. We've got to make up our minds about this. We've got to get it down in our heart. The red zone is a place where you play harder than you ever played before. On the defense, one of the things I also like about it is everybody plays closer together as well. I don't know if you've noticed that, but they're not all spread out. The defense is kind of piled up very close together, and that makes it good on them because now the guy that was just a hole away from me is now shoulder to shoulder with me, which gives me more strength to keep them from coming over. And the enemy wants to score. He wants to get by you. The other thing that I did learn also is on some defensive backs, when there's a defensive back and he's a smaller guy perhaps, maybe he's a 5'11 or maybe 6 foot, but probably 5'11. He may weigh 185, maybe 90, but probably 175 or 80 pounds. He's a smaller guy. He doesn't have the speed that this big, either a tight end or one of their wide outs that they put out there nowadays. They play so many, but they put him out there at 6'4" or 6'5" at 225 pounds, and they're going to run him on a fade. They're going to run him toward the corner, and they're going to throw it real high. He's going to jump up and get it, and the little guy's going to get beaten. Well, one of the things that the little guy knows is I can't play this guy all over the field, and the coach knows that. So here's what they will do many times. Instead of telling that small guy, doesn't matter which way he goes, you got to be on him, they'll say, you just worry about the fade. All you got to worry about is one thing. You don't have to think about him going the other way. You're going to be defending this way. That gives him a step on the offense right there because he's already going this way. Doesn't matter what that guy's going to do. He's not going to chase him because what they'll do is they'll get another safety and say, if he cuts across the middle, he's yours. So I'm going to help you right now. There are many of us that may not be the size we need to be. We may not have everything we need, but I thank God that He always puts someone around us. That's why we come to the house of God. That's why we have a relationship, because somebody can help us when we can't defend like we need to. Someone else can pick up for us. And I know some of y'all acting so spiritual like you never need it, but the rest of us need every once in a while somebody to say, we love you, we're praying for you, we got you back, we're going to be here for you, get up and let's keep moving. There's somebody that says that for you. That's why we come to the house of God. So we're on defense today. We're on defense. We have got to make up our mind that we are going to protect this house. Okay, let me show you something else. Maybe y'all get I will in just a minute. Let's try one more thing. I don't know. Let's see. Now, you know that was good. You know that was good. You know that was good. Open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 4, and I want to deal with the house. I want to deal with us protecting the house. I want to deal with us protecting the house. I will. Listen, you really need to get this because it may be the only thing you remember out of the message today. But this is what I want you to get. I don't need you to have a bunch of verses you can go to quote somebody today. I don't need you to have a lot of Bible trivia about it. You know, I don't know how many feathers an angel has in his wing. We don't need trivia, whether Adam had a navel or not. Who cares? But I'm just saying, many times we come to church and we're going to base our church service on how deep that guy was and how much word he gave me. Let me help you right now. If you're not doing the last words you got, why do you need a new one? Excuse me just a minute. If you're not walking in what you know, how are you going to walk in something you don't know that you got to go figure out? And I'm just saying right now, I want you to say, I will. Because I'm gonna tell you right now, you better wake up, because there is a devil loose. He is angry. Revelation 12. We'll come back to the fourth chapter of Nehemiah. Revelation 12, beginning of verse number 8, it says he's been kicked out of heaven, he's hit the earth, and he is enraged. That means I have passionate revenge. It means I am not quitting because you say quit. I'm not gonna let you tap out. See, there's some of y'all, you're in a temptation right now, and you say, well, I'm just going to tap out. I got to go back and drink. I've got to tap out. I got to have sex with that person. I'm just going to tap out. I'm going to tap out, and the devil will leave me alone. That's what he wants you to do. He'll never leave you alone until he kills you. The devil is never out to make you a little bit of a sinner. He's out to take your life, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He was never cast out on this earth to be your buddy. Y'all catching me right now? So the end of this thing is, somebody better be ready to protect their house. In Nehemiah, it's a great book. Matter of fact, Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, these guys were all, they were all contemporaries. And Esther. Did y'all know that? Some of y'all wanted Bible trivia. I'll give it to you anyway. So Ezra probably wrote Nehemiah, and he probably wrote Psalms 119. See, David didn't write all the Psalms, y'all. There's Psalms of Moses, Aesop's in there, the different people wrote Psalms. And there is an idea that 119 very well could have been Ezra. Now, you've got to ask me why. Yeah, the reason why is this, because he's the one that put the word back together. He's the one that collected. You know, they also say he may be the one that put the five books together, that he brought the Pentateuch in. He's the one that may have put all of that and shuffled those books. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is a scribe that knows what's up, and he put these books together. I'm going to tell you why they think he did Psalms 119, because it was he that on the day that they were back in Jerusalem, he opened up the Bible. He opened up the law that day, the word of that day, and he stood up above the people. And your Bible says as he read that word, they bowed their heads and wept because the word of God coming around them. Psalms 119, in every verse except two, it has something about the word. So people say very likely Ezra wrote 119. So Ezra's there, but we're in Nehemiah. Now Nehemiah's one of the exiles. The children of Israel have been exiled. Esther's out, and he's out, and Ezra's out. They're all over in Persia, and while they're over there, your Bible says that Nehemiah was a cupbearer. Cupbearer's the one that tastes the wine and the food for the king, so if he gets poisoned, he dies, and not the king. Hard job. So the mentality of him was that he was one that the king loved and appreciated and kept close to him. Now, you got to read this, and you can find it in Nehemiah. It says that he went to the king one day. He said, I am grieving. I'm fasting and I'm praying. The king said, you look bad, man. You need to take a bath. You look at yourself. And he said, well, I'm fasting. I'm grieving. And he said, why? He said, because I got word that the walls are all torn down at Jerusalem, and I want to build them back. I feel like God wants walls around that city, and I feel that he wants me to do something with it. That Persian king said, not only can you go, but I'll give you a letter that lets you get by the governors. Now, please hold on to this thought. When you hear me read in here and you read about Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, they were all the governors that got that letter. They were ticked. They were governing in little provinces around Jerusalem. And the Bible says that the king gave him a letter, and he walked by those provinces and he held that letter up. I'm on the king's business. I may be a Jew and I may be in exile, but I'm walking for the king today, and here's my pass, and I'm coming right by you. Those people were livid. They just hated it. He also got to go to the royal forest. And he told the forest keeper, I don't know who that was, I guess, but he went to the royal forest and went to whoever was over the forest and told him, he said, we need some wood, we need material, and they had to start coughing it up. I'm just saying right now, here he was in a bad land and made up his mind, I'm going to serve God. I'm in some bad places, I'm in a tough situation, but I'm going to serve God. And I'm going to tell you this, he didn't get out of it because he was serving God. So I'm going to help you right now. Serving God may not get you out of your stuff. I'm going to serve God and everything's going to get better. It might not. You might serve God and all hell break loose. It done gone from bad to worse. But you got to make up your mind that God is still in charge. And you're in a fallen world, and there's a mad devil, and he's after everything you got. He wants your kids. He wants your mind. He wants this house. He wants the church universal. So look with me in Nehemiah. This is a great book. And one of the things I noticed about Nehemiah, we're going to go to chapter 4, but I noticed in chapter 3, when he started putting together his crews of people to work, he started out with measurements. And then he changed about mid-chapter, chapter 3, and he started measuring by households. He started saying they built from this family to this family. He started connecting the dots that this isn't just about walls. This is about people. This is about families. This is about individuals. So can I tell you something right now? I'm not preaching to nobody in this room today. I'm preaching to everybody in this room today. For every family, every man, and every woman in this room, you need to protect your house. Chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says this. He's already gone into Jerusalem. They started the repairs now. He's already made everybody mad. Look at this, verse number 1. But it so happened that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was, I don't know what your translation says. Mine says he was furious and very indignant. I mean, this sounds just like the devil in Revelation. It may sound like your boss. May sound like your neighbor. Huh? You just got to make up your mind you're in a battle here. And it's not the people you're fighting. Look, if some of us would get more serious about getting the devil out of our house, then we wouldn't have to be having all the fights we're having. Okay, you don't have to amen me on that one. Well, I'm a Christian. There ain't no devil up in my house. I'm going to tell you right now, if you live on arguments and backbiting and jealousy, he's in there. You can tell me what you want to. You can speak in tongues all day long. It's not going to make him leave if you're still arguing and backbiting and cussing one another. You're opening the door to the devil. And Paul said this in the 5th chapter of Ephesians. He said, don't give one toehold to the enemy. Don't give anything where he can get in your house. So verse number 7 says this. And now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were being beginning to close, that they became, here we are again, they became what? Very angry. Are y'all getting the picture yet? Devil hates your guts. He's always got a toothache. Right? He's always sick. He's always mad. He never has a good day, and you're the reason. Could you think with me on this one? They were very angry. Verse number 8. And all of them conspired together and came to attack Jerusalem and create confusion. I'd love for you to circle attack and create confusion, because that's exactly what the devil does. He has not come to set up and be your friend. He's come to attack you, number one, and to create confusion. When you start saying things like, well, I'm just confused. I'm going to help you right now. There's the devil loose. Well, Pastor, is there going to be a time when I'm just be mentally confused? Oh, there can be, but I'm just going to tell you right now, there's a devil loose, and he wants you confused. He will make things become confusing to you. And here's what it said. They came to attack and create confusion. If they're confused, they can't do the work. Verse number 9, and I'm just going to say this to you. That happens in churches. Y'all don't have to amen me on this one. But if you don't check the devil in the house, confusion will be in the house. You want to say it again? If you don't check the devil in the house, if you don't make it clear that he doesn't belong there, if you don't make it clear that you're not going to let sin be created and stay in that house, can I just help you right now? That you're going to have confusion and all manner of evil. I'm just saying. Don't be telling me it's at church. It doesn't matter if it's church or bar, same devil. He's not acting any different here than he would down to bar. Just saying. Now, verse number 9. Nevertheless, I love that. They came to create confusion. Nevertheless, you need to circle. That's a great word in your Bible. That means, well, I don't care what just happened. I don't care who said what. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God because of them. Now, watch this. And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. I'm going to help you right now. You need to set a watch up against them, demonic forces that are continually tempting you. When people say to me, well, you know, our society is getting better. I'm going to tell you, it's the craziest thing I've ever been around lately. Our teenagers have so much against them that it's not even funny. It's not even a thought against it. Everything is against them. We saw in the news the other day that they do sexting. It's texting with sex, or sex with texting. So they call it sexting. And the teenagers are doing that. So they're taking pictures of their naked selves and doing their naked stuff. And they put it, then they send it to people. I mean, yeah, they text them, send a picture. Here's the thing, that hurts me. But I'm going to tell you what makes me mad. The adults on that news program sat around a desk, about a half a dozen of them, and said, this is now the norm for the teenager in America. We just know it's going to be there. That's what they're going to do. It is the norm. Can I help y'all right now? Sexting is not the norm, not going to be the norm, never was the norm. And I'm not against teenagers. I'm against the devil because he's the one. It's not the iPhone that's the problem. It's the person pushing the buttons. And the devil is loose. Some of you mamas and daddies need to check computers and phones of your kids. And don't be telling me about their rights, nothing. Huh? Listen, your kid can get so screwed up and so jacked up while you don't pay attention to it that by the time you find it, they're on the slippery slope and can't get their balance again, and everything you tell them doesn't make sense now. But I'm just saying, we need to check the devil at our house. We need to check the devil in this house. So here's what it says. Here's what it says. Stay with me on this one now. And it says, we're going to set a watch. Say, I'm going to be watching. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers. Here we go whining. Yeah, here's what the people say. Judah says, they're supposed to be the praisers, and here's what they're saying. This is what Charlie's saying. The strength of our laborers is failing, and there's so much rubbish that we're not able to build the wall. You know, that's what I hear today. It's just the norm for the kids. We just got to let it be what's going to be. I'm telling you right now, we don't have to whine about that stuff. We can stand up on our hind legs like we're a human being and call on God. Now watch what it says here. Watch what it says. It says they're whining about that. We can't get done. Verse number 13. Therefore, Nehemiah says, we're not quitting because you're having a bad day. Therefore, wherever I was. Verse 11. And our adversaries said, First it was us saying it, and then the devil picks up on it. I know people say name it and claim it and blab it and grab it, and y'all just all of that talking stuff about it. Let me help you right now. Maybe you need to start blabbing some stuff. Maybe you need to start naming and claiming something. I mean, you can put down anybody you want to, but I'm going to tell you right now, you need to start claiming your salvation. You need to claim it every day. You need to start blabbing your health. You need to be talking about this. And the Word of God says, after they complain, then the enemy said something. So here's the enemy. Listen to the words. They will neither know nor see anything until we come into their midst and kill them. That's the point. Not stop the wall building, kill them, and cause the work to cease. Verse 12. Now that was us, and then the enemy picked up on what we were saying. Verse number 12. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came, they told us 10 times, from wherever place you turn, they're going to be on us. I'm just saying right now, these people had a huge negative problem. They had a huge complex. That not only did we whine, they've come 10 times. And I'm glad Nehemiah said it. He's a little bit exasperated. Can't y'all talk something other than whining? Can't you say something good? Can't you just say we're going to defeat the enemy? Can't you just say we're going to build the wall? Can't you just say I'm going to keep working? Can't you just say we're here and we're not leaving? Just saying. So they said they've come 10 times. Verse 13. Now watch this. Here's a key. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings. Now, watch this. And I set the people according to their families. You look at word up family, it can mean my wife and I and our kids. Family could mean my family immediate, plus all of my extended, plus all of my in-laws and outlaws. So I could, that's still the same word, family. And then the whole church is family. If you read, got to read Genesis 12 to find this out, but the whole church is now family. Say, we are family. Yeah, you're not going to have to sing it, but just know you are family. You're a part of something here. And listen to me, we're a family. And then the church universal is a family. And even mankind is a family. But here's, I can't help all of mankind, but I do pray for them. But I'm going to tell you something. I can set a watch at my house. I can set a watch at the Wright's house. I can set a watch there to tell the enemy, you're not coming in. We're getting done with this race. We're building the wall, and you're not getting in. Not a toehold. I can say it in this house that we're not going to let sin have domain and rulership in this place. I pray right now that it be uncovered and come to light and be seen, that nothing is going to be done in darkness that won't be shouted from the housetop. Now, some of y'all saying, I ain't coming back there if my sin's going to be shouted from the housetop. That's the whole point, is to get your attention. Amen. Can we read a little bit further? So watch this. The families have now come back into this with their swords and their spears and their bows. Verse 14. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and the leaders and the rest of the people. I went to all these people that were whining. I went to everybody that wasn't doing the work. And if you see this where it says nobles and leaders, all you got to do is go back and read chapter 3 where it says the nobles and leaders, many of them did not work. They went back. They didn't want to pick a brick up, so they stood by and let other people work. It's in your Bible. But listen, when it came down to we got to get something changed here, everybody get your name called. So he says this to them. He says to the lords, to the leaders, and the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Say, I am not afraid. Remember the Lord. And here's how you got to remember him. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. Don't remember the Lord like he's little. Don't remember the Lord like he's a long way off. You got to remember the Lord. He is great and he is awesome. I mean, he can do anything. He can get me out. He can put me up. He can lead me forward. The Bible says in Isaiah, he leads me and he's my rear guard at the same time. Remember your God is great and awesome. Amen. When you're in a bind, remember God is great and awesome. Now watch this. And fight for whom? Your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. I'm just saying right now, somebody's got to protect the house. And somebody's got to say, I will, because Nehemiah says, we're not going any further. There can't be any more work until we start understanding that we got people worth fighting for. There's somebody in here worth fighting for. Glenn's worth fighting for. Sue's worth fighting for. Robert's worth fighting for. There are people that are worth fighting for. When you come to church and you think, well, I just want to get something that's going to bless me. Forget bless you. Get you something this morning that'll make you come back up in here and look at someone else and say, I'm going to stand for them today. They're worth something. God loves that person. I don't know what's going on, but God's on their side. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you went up and said, Pernell, I'm going to tell you, I don't really know you very well, but I'm going to just tell you right now, Jesus loves you. And greater is he that is for you than he that is against you. Wouldn't it be something if you just said something like that? You prophesied something positive instead of, boy, you look bad. And what about your kid? And what about the cancer? Somebody has got to protect the house. The responsibility for protecting the house is not just the preachers. Oh, I got it. I got it. I know. I've got a responsibility. I've got a responsibility to protect my house. But you're going to see in just a minute that there are three houses that get protected. Now, you've got to take responsibility. There's cultural pressure against people today. It bothers me when people say, there's no pressure in the world. Everybody just live for Jesus. You a lying dog. I get sick of those kind of overzealous people that just say living for Jesus just doesn't have a problem. I'm going to help you right now. They are lying. When you come in the kingdom, you will have a problem. Even though, listen to me, even though Nehemiah had the past, he had it written out. He had the past. Y'all still with me yet? You're born again, and you got the past. You got the Word of God. You're healed by His stripes. I've been made whole. There's still a devil that says, I don't care what the king said. I don't care what kind of letter you got. We're coming after your stuff. You're in the red zone. The devil's coming to get you with everything he's got. He's put his tallest receivers out there. He's put his biggest backs in the backfield. He's coming after your stuff. I'm going to tell you something else. I'm excited about people saying, you're preaching over, you're hollering around. I'm passionate about this. I'm just passionate about it because I believe somebody has got to protect this house. Job stress is another reason that people need help. They're either losing a job or they're working too. I mean, I've heard both of them. They lose a job, it's horrible stress. They work in two jobs, it's horrible stress. But they got to have the money. And I'm just saying right now, there's a devil loose and he'll use that against you. He'll tell you how sorry you are and how you don't work enough and how you don't make a living. He'll tell you how you're rejecting your family. He'll put all kinds of stuff in you. You got to make up your mind, I'm serving Jesus every day of my life. I'm not giving in. You're not killing me. You're not getting my stuff, not my family, nothing. They're economic changes. How many of you know store prices are nuts? Just crazy. And the gas pumps, they don't know what to do. But I'm going to tell you right now, it makes me mad when I'm happy about $3 gas. Yeah. See, some of y'all don't get it. But at 64, I remember 17 cents. I mean, you can't even buy a block of gum for 17 cents. Divorce is another thing that's in our world that's against the church. The church used to claim, we don't have the divorce rate of the world. We're only at 12% of the church that's getting a divorce. And they look at the world, what they're doing, and now we're 50-50. We may be necking them out. Can I tell you something? There's a devil loose. Now, Pastor, are you against me because I'm divorced? Listen, I love you if you've been married 100 times. That's not the point. The point is, who you living with now, let's make it work. Let's believe God. Let's get the devil out of our house. Let's get this one right. I'm just saying, let's get something right. Let's fight for it. Say, my family's worth it. Let me give you the three houses and I'll hush. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, you can look it up later, but let it suffice to say that the Word of God says, know ye not, Paul speaking, that you are a temple, a house of the Holy Spirit. Say, I am a house.
I am a house.
Now let me ask you a question. Who's going to protect your house? Who's going to protect your house? Yeah, the first house you protect is not somebody else's. It's not even your big house. It's not your wife and your kids, your husband and your kids. It's not that. It's you got to get your house right. You got to get this one right. The Bible doesn't say Jesus is standing at the door of the church knocking. He's standing at the door of your heart knocking. Someone's got to protect this house. I will. Paul told Timothy, he said, sexual problems, just run from it. Well, I'm going to fight it. Look, let me help you. Just get away from it first. Amen. Before you go into a picket line out in front of a pornography place, why don't you just get your life straight? Just get it. Get the door closed. The Word of God says that the enemy is at the door. He wants to come in, and someone has a responsibility. And I'm going to help you right now. It is not my responsibility to keep your house. It is your responsibility. It's my responsibility to keep Mike right. It's Sue's to keep Sue's. It's not mine. She is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I am. And Paul says, watch this. He said, individually you are. That's not all he said. He said, it's not only me, but it's mine. Because he said it this way. He said in 1 Corinthians 3:16, he said, Don't you understand? Talking to the whole body of Christ, and I'm going to talk to your family, husband, wife, and kids. Don't you understand that we are the body of Christ? In other words, I'm the body of Christ. I am the house, but also my house is a house. In other words, someone is responsible for where you live. Amen? And it ain't the president. It's not the news. It's not the politicians. I wish I could tell you that you're going to vote on somebody and because they're Republican, they're going to change your world. That is just a crock. Now, y'all can get mad at me if you want to, but politicians are politicians. I don't care who comes in here and wants to talk to you about it. I said what you want to. You get to Montgomery or you get to Washington and you just find out what you're going to change. Tea Party members found that out real quick. You get a few of them in, they start sleeping around. Huh? Oh, they went in on Christian ethics. They went in because I'm a Christian. Vote for me, I'm a Christian. I'm going to help you right now. You need to vote for who's going to help you. You can line Christians up all day long. I don't believe there are Christian politicians. I believe there are politicians that may be Christians, but there's no such thing as Christian politicians. Did y'all hear that? A Christian may be a politician, but there's no Christian politicians. It's a politician that is a Christian. Amen? Because sometimes we get real foggy right about there. So Paul says this. He said, my house has become a family. In Exodus chapter 12, it says there's a lamb slain for every house. And then it also says, if there's not enough in your house for a lamb to be there, then you invite your neighbor over and y'all get together and have the lamb together. I'm just saying, there's a place for mine, not just me, but for us to get together. All right, so say my family. Say, protect my house. Say, I will. Okay, protect this house and then protect this house. And then there's another one where the Word of God says it's our house. This same verse is talking about the whole church. And the Bible also says we're the body of Christ. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to tell you right now, you all are the house. We all as a church of the house, and we are obligated, not just me, we are obligated to protect this house. We are obligated to set watchmen that will pray, that will make sure that the enemy doesn't have free reign in this place. Amen? Say our house. Yeah, it's in our house, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Also, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 21 and 22, it says we're being built up together as the house. Amen? So it's not a big I and little you. We've been built up together as a house. But then Jesus, on his leave-taking, the last words he says before he dies, he says, Father, I'm praying for their unity. Because the exponential anointing is in unity. It's not in tongues. It's not in confession of positive things. But it's in unity. The Bible says if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Psalm 133 says that the unity is like an anointing that came down on the head of the king and went all the way down to the bottom of his clothes. And it was that anointing that has power. Can I say something? It's about unity. It's about protecting this house. It's about not letting the enemy get in people's lives. It's about having enough wherewithal that if you see somebody in trouble, that you say, hey, man, let me pray with you about this. Let me help you on this issue. Amen. Instead of just letting it go by, say our house. Well, I'm just going to let you look this up, and then I'm going to be done. I want you to look up when you get a chance Proverbs 24:5, because Proverbs 24:5 says this. It says, a wise man is strong and is better than a strong man, and a man of knowledge increases strength and power. Here's what it says. A wise man is strong, but a man with knowledge is stronger. Wisdom only does what it does by knowledge. Knowledge is what you know. Wisdom is how you handle what you know. Look at me, baby. If you don't know anything, you ain't got no wisdom to work with. I mean, you may have wisdom, but you're not going to be strong in that wisdom till you get the Word. So I'm just going to say right now, you need the Word of God. You need to speak the Word, read the Word, pray the Word, and come against the enemy. Amen? So I'm going to give you this, and I will close. I said I was. I really, really mean it. Look in Matthew 12:29, and I will hush. Matthew 12:29. This is used as Jesus is defending the fact that he is God and can cast out devils. Right? Y'all remember that one? Look at Matthew 12. But it is an open-ended thought. And I don't think I'm going to do Scripture harm with this. I want you to just look at it. Look at 12:29. And it says this. Now, Jesus is talking, red letter in your Bible. Here's what he says. And how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man and then will plunder his house? It didn't say who was the devil and who wasn't, did it? Huh? There was no clarity on that. We understand it. It's used again in the New Testament, the book of Luke. It's used again, so we understand it is there twice. Here's the thing. The Bible says, how can a man, a strong man, come in and conquer, a stronger man come in and conquer a strong man? And it says he can't. He can't unless he can bind him. What if we just, for the sake of the title of the message being Protect This House, that we understand this, that maybe that's the devil that says he's the stronger and he wants to come in your house. Can I help you right now? He can't come in your house until he binds you. Now, you're not going to amen me right along here, but if he's got your language, if he's got your attitude, if he's got your body, if he's got you bound up, if he's got you closed in, if he's got you there, he's got a rope on you, and he can come plunder your stuff. Maybe we as strong men ought to make up our mind that we're going to be loose today. We're going to loose the strong man and let him have the victory. Maybe we stop the enemy from coming in. Maybe we don't let him come in our house. Oh, I'm talking to you grown men up in here. I'll get to them. The reason the devil can come in and keep screwing your stuff up is because he's got something around your leg. What you need to make up your mind about is I am the strong man in Jesus' name. I am the strong man in Jesus' name. And I don't care how big he is. Look at this, look at this. David against Goliath? Are you kidding me? It doesn't change. It's still you looking small with that big devil that's been around for eons, this eternal beings that are against you, and you look and say, I'm strong, but that's a stronger man. I'm going to tell you right now, you make up your mind that he's not going to bind you, that you're going to protect your house. You close your door. You don't let him come in. You don't let him get a grip. Paul said, don't even give him a toehold. Don't give place the topos. Don't give him any ground. Let's stand, if you would, this morning, please. So let me ask you the question. Who's going to protect this house? Point your finger at yourself. Who's going to protect this house? Who's going to? I know he looks like a kid. Just placate the old man. Humor me. Who's going to protect this house? Yeah, but my wife's praying for me. I'm glad she is. But she's not protecting this house. I will. Ladies, let me tell you something. You've got a husband, and he loves you. And guys, it's your job, your responsibility, my responsibility, to keep the devil out of our house. It's not her responsibility to keep the devil out of our house. Except the fact that I've been placed here as the man of God. She has now become bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and we are one in the sight of God. Therefore, that anointing from here is also here, and we can declare the enemy has no place. But Sue has to protect this house. Oh, I can pray, and I can fight the devils, but at the end of the day, you got to loose the strong.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.